Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're at the bottom of page 1, volume 14, April 1st, 1922. But between me, Jesus, and the little daughter of my divine will, Louisa, it is not sins that prevent me from making myself seen. It is my divine justice that places itself between me, Jesus, and you, Louisa. So Louisa would always say, "You're not coming to me because of my sinfulness." And Jesus says, "No, I'm not coming to you." He says, "Therefore, your pain from not seeing me surpasses any other pain." So Jesus was Louisa's life. This is not a vision, it's not an apparition, it's not a locution. When she did not see Jesus Christ, she says, "I'm living dead. I can't breathe. I can't see. I can't function." So that's why Jesus says, "The pain that you're going through when you don't see me surpasses all the other pains that a human could possibly go through." Now, I've met visionaries, locutionists, and those that have apparitions, and they live pretty well without seeing Jesus or Mary. Louisa couldn't do this. This is why when she's complaining, it's like somebody drowning. She's pleading with Jesus, "Please, please, I got to see you. You are my life. You are my all. You are my God. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. And I can't live without you." Because Jesus was actually Louisa's life. So Jesus says, "My poor daughter Louisa, courage, you have had my same lot. How terrible are the pains of justice." So Jesus is saying, "I do not want to punish mankind. I don't want to do this. I can't, as God, survive basically watching punishment come upon my people." This is why when people say, "How come God hasn't done anything?" Because he doesn't want to do this. He wants us to change. So what he's done is he's put into our hands the ability of people, of your family, of your neighbors, of your friends, of your parish, to change. By you living in the divine will, they will change. And Jesus is saying, "Please work with me so that this can be accomplished. How terrible are the pains of justice. I can share them with only the one who lives in my divine will, because it takes a divine strength to bear these horrible, horrendous pains. But do not fear. I, Jesus, shall return soon according to the usual way to let the rays of justice touch the creatures. My justice, too, must follow its course, nor shall you be able to sustain it all. Then I shall be with you as before. But in spite of this, I am not leaving you, Louisa. And I too know that you cannot be without me. Therefore, I, Jesus, shall remain in the depth of your heart, and we shall plead together for mercy." Volume 14, April 6, 1922. "My daughter Louisa, man has forgotten heaven for the earth. It is divine justice that what is earth shall be taken away from him." This is the reason why I've always said, if you love something on earth, let go of it. That doesn't mean your family, but it means if you love chocolate, stop eating chocolate. He says earth is going to be taken away. It's better to give it up now so that you're free. See, if you have any loves of the earth, you've stifled God, because the love of what you have in your heart is in the way of what God wants. "So that the soul will go on wandering, unable to find shelter, so that he may remember that heaven exists." So God is going to take everything away, even shelter. Unable to find shelter. Can you imagine what's coming? "That he may remember that heaven exists." So the Lord is saying to us, and this is what Lent is all about, give up something. I've always mentioned that when I was 14 in the seminary, the priest said to us, give up something in Lent and then every year give up something more. By the time you're 80, you've given up everything, and you'll be able to give up your heartbeat. You'll be able to give up your breath. And that's it's really true. If you have any loves of the earth, I mean, let's look at your hobbies. Let's look at your passions. Let's look at the, you know, oh, I love this movie. You know, it's I know people that have watched movies 20 times. I mean, the same movie. You know, the first time I got it, okay? I mean, why even go watch the Titanic? We know what's going to happen. You know, why waste your time? It's to focus on what Jesus wants, the eternal. Jesus is asking us to really let him expand our capacity to begin to see things the saints never saw. That's what the divine will is all about. The divine will is to not just do the will of God that the saints have taught us, but to live in the will of God that no saint was ever taught how to do that. Jesus is teaching us things that the saints, I mean, can you imagine St. Francis if he knew about the Book of Heaven? Or St. Thomas Aquinas if he knew about the Book of Heaven? They would be fighting for this book, but it was not for them. It's for us. And Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. He's expecting us to dive into these writings to such an extent. Now, you have to remember, Jesus says to us about Louisa, the drips of water that are falling off Louisa's body as she exits the infinite ocean of the divine will is the Book of Heaven. When we read the Book of Heaven, we have to get to the point of not just, oh, I know this line and I know that line. No, it's to dive into the infinite ocean of the divine will and to drown there. Never to leave the life, the light, the love of God. Ever. To be one with God forever while on earth. See, this is why Jesus says, what is of the earth will be taken away from mankind. What you love on earth is... So what Jesus does with each and every one of us is he asks us to basically go through the sacrifice of Abraham. What do you love the most? Are you willing to sacrifice it? What do you love the most on earth? Are you willing to sacrifice it? Most people can't. I've seen people leave the divine will where their family has made a threat. Either it's the divine will or me. Well, that would be easy for me. It's the divine will. It's everything. And see, the devil doesn't want you to read this. The devil doesn't want you to give your life. The devil wants you to do anything and everything, even holy things, rather than study the divine will. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. Jesus says it right here. What is earth is going to be taken away from mankind. Man has forgotten the soul for the body. So everything is for the body. Pleasures, comfort, sumptuousness, luxury, and the like. The soul is starving, deprived of everything. And in many, the soul is dead, as if they did not have it. I mean, this is what we see, you know. The truth is not being spoken. You know, even news doesn't speak the truth. It speaks lies. And since that's being brought up, everybody's angry. How dare you say that? You know, we're in charge. Don't listen to them. The soul is dead, and many live as if they did not have a soul. Now it is divine justice that their body shall be deprived. It is divine justice that their body shall be deprived, so that they may remember that they have a soul. But oh, how hard man is! His hardness forces me to strike him more. Who knows whether he would soften under the blows? I remember when 9/11 happened. The churches were filled for 3 weeks. That was it. That's enough. Then everybody went back to their hedonism. And now it's even worse. My heart being tortured. And Jesus, you, Louisa, suffer very much in seeing the world as if it wanted to tumble about, water and fire spilling out of their boundaries, hurling themselves at mankind. Therefore, let us withdraw together into your bed. Let us pray together for the destiny of mankind. Now, this is interesting. The last talk we gave in February on this part two of Divine Mercy, the thing that jumped out at me the most was Jesus said to Louisa, I have put the destiny of mankind in your hands, Louisa. I trust you, Louisa, so much. You're a human. You're not the mother of God. You're not Theotokos. You're not Mary. You're not the Blessed Mother. But you're the newborn. And I trust you, Louisa, so much that I put the destiny of mankind in your hands. So what does she do with her hands? She writes the Book of Heaven. As we read the Book of Heaven, the destiny of our brothers, our sisters, of mankind is in our hands as well. What does he say in when we did part one? Jesus says, Louisa, if it wasn't for you, I would have destroyed all of mankind. But I see in you, Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn, the mother of the second generation of the children of light, and therefore I have hope that the children of the divine will live as I originally planned. Because of you, Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus says this? Well, as you read the 36 volumes, as you finish reading the 36 volumes, you will know who Louisa is. Now, some people read a paragraph and they go, I don't want this. I don't like Louisa. God says, fine. When we read all 36 volumes, you know who Louisa Picaretta is. If you don't read all 36 volumes and you throw Louisa out, that's too bad. Jesus says, fine. I'll give you what you want. In my divine will, I, God, shall feel your heart beating over the entire face of the earth, Louisa. Why? Because the destiny of man has been placed in your hands, Louisa. Giving me a heartbeat for every soul that shall speak, I love you, from every soul. And I, as I strike the creatures, your heartbeat shall place itself in the way so that the blows may be less hard, and upon touching them may bring them the soothing balm of my love and of yours. See, I ran out of holy oil. I was running out of holy oil. And I said to Jesus, I said, what did Louisa do about oil? You know, I mean, oil is so important in the church. What did you do? And in volume 3, volume 3, April 23rd, 1900, Louisa said, oil came from my body and I don't know why, but I that oil was to soothe Jesus. And later in volume 11, Louisa says, the children of the divine will be the oil, basically, that soothes the body of Christ. Do you see what Jesus is doing? He knows mankind is on the wrong path. And he says to the little children of the holy divine will, you are my dearest children. Why? I did not give this book to the saints. I gave it to you, and you are my dearest children. You're going to be linked to Louisa. You're going to bring about, really, a new beginning for the face of the earth. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, I am going to strike mankind. He says, but you're going to be the soothing balm of my love between man and God. Volume 14, April 12, 1922. As I was in my usual way, and that was suffering, my sweet Jesus made himself seen all afflicted, almost in the act of giving course to divine justice, but as though forced by creatures themselves. And I prayed to Jesus to withhold the scourges, and he, Jesus, told me, my daughter Louisa, between creator and creature, there is nothing but currents of love. God is overflowing mankind with love. Sin breaks these currents and opens the currents to divine justice. My divine justice defends the rights of my offended love, of my broken love between God and man. In making its way into their midst, it would want to reunite this broken love, but if man did not sin, my justice would have nothing to do with the creature. But as guilt begins, my divine justice places itself on the way. Do you think that I want to strike mankind? No, no. On the contrary, it grieves me. It is hard for me to touch mankind. But mankind forces me to and induces me to strike him. You, Louisa, pray that mankind may mend his ways so divine justice, quickly reuniting the current of love, shall be able to withdraw. You see our role? It's going to come. We're going to be punished. You know, every city that marches for death, marches for what they want, is going to be punished. And Jesus says, would you help me soften the blow that's coming? Would you help me convert some hearts to turn back to me? Would you help me? And this is our job. Our job is more than what Moses is. Moses stood in the breach to pray for the people. And Jesus is saying, would you be willing to stand in the breach? Not only for your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners, but for all my children, Jesus says. And when we say yes, God says, good, watch what I will do. See, our trust, our confidence has to be in him, not in what we think is coming. And I can tell you what we think is coming is going to be really... Jesus says this, it's never been seen and will never be seen again. It is so horrendous. It has never been seen. Think about every thought, every word, every deed that's outside the divine will of God. Even in our own lives. Can you imagine what the punishment is going to be? For every thought, every word, every deed. He already died on the cross for all our sins. He shed every drop of blood for us. And yet we continue to sin. Each week we go to confession. We've been given the book of heaven. Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. Volume 14, April 21st, 1922. What is it, Jesus? Why do you cry? Tell me, what have they done to you? And Jesus says, my daughter Louisa, they want to challenge me. They are preparing for me an awful challenge, and it is from the leaders. My sorrow is such that I feel my heart being cut into pieces. And how just it is that my divine justice pour itself out against creatures. Therefore, come into my holy divine will together with me. Let us rise between heaven and earth and adore together the supreme majesty of God. That's what Jesus is asking us. You see what's happening to your family. Don't just say, well, that's everybody. He says, come in to my divine will together with me and let us adore the supreme majesty for them. Not to compromise, not to agree with them. It's to speak the truth in love and to watch God work. Let us bless it. Give it homage. This is the supreme majesty. Give it the supreme homage for everyone so that heaven and earth may be filled with adorations, homages, and blessings, and all may receive their effects. So I spent the morning praying together with Jesus at his holy divine will. But, oh, surprise, as we prayed, one was the world, but the divine volition diffused it all over all created things, and its mark remained on all of them. It brought it into heaven, and not only did all the blessed receive its mark, but it was for them cause of a new beatitude, a new abundant blessing for the saints in heaven. How? What does Jesus say? Let us together with me rise between heaven and earth and adore the supreme will in the divine will, the supreme majesty in the fiat. This, he says, changes the world. See, Jesus says this. He says he says to Louisa. Louisa kept on asking Jesus, when is the book of heaven going to be released? And Jesus says, in the worst of times. Now, why the worst of times? This is the way, this is how God is going to do it. When we learn how to pray the rounds, when we let go of the things of the earth, when we begin to embrace the things of heaven, the earth is going to change. Jesus said that very clearly. He says, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, move, and it must obey you. This is the command prayer that Jesus is teaching us. I believe, and I receive it. I believe in Jesus. I trust in Him. I believe in Him. I hope in Him. Do you see how this oil of Louisa is going to heal mankind? If this is not a temporary healing, it's an eternal healing. This is what God has planned. What's going to make every Buddhist and Hindu and Muslim and Protestant say, I want to be a baptized Catholic? It's when the divine will begins to reign. Everyone will see how powerful this is. This is the light of God, the life of God, the love of God on earth as it is in heaven through this little newborn, Louisa. First of all, reigning in us and then throughout the whole world. Everyone was going to say, I give up what I believe in to begin to believe in this universal life, this Catholic life. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that's found in Louisa. See, this is the new evangelization. This is what's coming upon earth. This is why he says, it was brought to heaven, and not only did all the saints receive this mark, but for them it will be a new beatitude. If this happens in heaven, it's going to happen on earth, because we call, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It descends to the bottom of the earth and even into purgatory, and everyone receives its effects. But who can say how it was to pray with Jesus and all the effects that it produced? She entered into the infinite. A human enters into eternity on earth. That's why she says, who can tell what it was like to pray with Jesus? It was so beautiful. Who can tell all the effects that it produced in heaven, in purgatory, and on earth? It was so beautiful, so magnificent. Volume 14, May 8th, 1922. See the wound that you see in the center of my heart, from which the little flame comes out? It is precisely yours, Louisa. Louisa wounded the heart of Jesus. But be consoled. If it gives me the highest pain, it also gives me the highest love. And you, however, stay calm, and I shall go forward to fulfill my divine justice. See, the wound is to love God. What does that mean? He is so in love with us that we share in His suffering. And therefore, to wound the heart of Jesus is to fall madly in love with Jesus. This is what we do when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We fall in love with Jesus. We don't sit there reading a book. We don't sit there doing our prayers. We fall in love with Jesus. That's what St. Teresa said. This is the only time where we can freely fall in love with God, because when we go to heaven, we will have to love God, because we will see how beautiful, how holy, how perfect He is. There will be nothing else to do but fall on our knees and worship Him. He is so beautiful, so holy, but He hides Himself from us. Why? He says, I want to see whether you want to love me freely or not. If He shows Himself to us, there's no freedom in that. We're going to see Him as He is, and we will be on our knees. This is why He hid from the angels. Who will love me? So we don't go by feelings. We go by in the knowledge of the truth. Who is God? And I think one of the main problems of the church today is, I think it was in 1967 in our diocese, they threw the Baltimore Catechism out. God is love. And there's been no teaching. When you read the Baltimore Catechism, when you study the Baltimore Catechism, it really explains what this is about in simple phrases for children. Faith is not complicated. The divine will is not complicated. The divine will is for children. And when somebody comes out with theological explanations of the divine will, I fall asleep. It's not to study with a PhD. It's to be a child and to say, yes, I want this. This is what the divine will is for. It's not for... And I found many people who have PhDs God bless them, but it's like you give a flower to a child, and the flower is in awe of it, and then choose it. But what the PhDs do is they dissect it, they take it all apart, they say, okay, this is over here and this is over here, and it's all apart, but it wasn't even delighted in. At least the child tasted it. So Jesus is asking us, and he says, you can't get into heaven unless you accept it like a child, to live it like a child. And that's not childish. But what does the child do? It says yes. The parents say, we're going to get an ice cream. The kid goes, yes. You know, Jesus says, I want to bring you to heaven. And we go, well, basically, is that this heaven, or is it the heaven that St. Thomas talked about? Or no, it's God says, I want to take you to heaven now. We go, yes. Let it be done as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. So he says, now the soul who lives in my divine will takes part in all of my divine attributes. And together with me, the soul concurs in each one of my acts. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, you be in my heart beating. This is your act in me. We participate in what God is doing. Jesus, gaze in my gazing. Jesus, you gaze in my gazing. Jesus, listen in my listening. We participate in His attributes. He is doing it. We're not doing a divine act. But Jesus is accomplishing His divine act in us. And therefore, He says, we take part in all of His divine attributes as much as we wish. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus, sing in my singing. See, the Lord wants to truly be the Lord of our life in every aspect. Therefore, the soul must concur with me, also in the acts of divine justice. This is why, when I want to chastise, I, God, hide my holy humanity from you, Louisa, which is more accessible to the human nature, in such a way, at the reflection of my holy humanity, you feel the love and the compassion that I have towards souls, and you snatch from me the scourges with which I want to strike mankind. Then, when the creatures do so much as to force me to strike them, hiding my holy humanity from you, Louisa, I raise you into the light of my divinity, and as it absorbs you and delights you, you do not feel the reverberations of my holy humanity, and I, being left free, can strike mankind. See, Louisa always stood in the way. She says, don't punish them. She stood in the breach as Moses stood in the breach. Jesus is asking us to do the same with Louisa. We deserve, I mean, just in the International Planned Parenthood, we gave enough money to China for those last 8 years to kill 43 million babies a year. That's over 350 million babies in the 8 years of that last administration. 350 million babies. That's the nation of the United States. And Our Lady of Fatima said nations will be annihilated. We did that with one country. That's what we did with our vote. Do you think God's going to be pleased with us who voted? Do you think God's going to be happy with us? I mean, we're going to be punished. You have to understand this. And then creating laws that say that you can marry your own dog. I mean, basically, you can marry anything you want. This lady married a tree. I mean, this is ridiculous. Marriage is so sacred to Jesus. Marriage is so sacred to God. This is why the first miracle of Jesus was at Cana, a wedding feast. Heaven, he says, is the wedding feast. And what does mankind do? They destroy marriage. They eliminate God from marriage. And then we attend those weddings? Do you think God's going to be happy with us? I mean, we're responsible for every thought, every word, every deed. I'm in more trouble in my family for not going to weddings. How dare you? Hurting the family. Well, I got two words for them. I think it's Merry Christmas. I know I'm not sure. No, you have to understand, we're Catholic. You know, we're not pagans. We're Catholics. We've been given the universal life. And let's just think of Sundays. How do we keep holy the Sabbath? You know, the Saul Alinsky, he's the one that started CYO's basketball games on Sunday. He's a communist. CYO on Sunday was started in Chicago under a Cardinal Bernardine, Bishop Bernardine at the time. Why? Not to keep holy the Sabbath. I mean, in my own parish, I remember all the kids would be there in their uniforms, and then right after Mass, we'd all march over to the gym, and we'd spend the next 3 hours cheering. That was the end of Catholicism. And that was during the Latin Masses. You have to remember, we have to be Catholic. What does it mean to be Catholic? What did Our Lady say? Our Lady said three things. Pray the rosary, wear the scapular, make First Saturdays. How many Catholics pray the rosary, wear the scapular, make First Saturdays? That's all Our Lady asked. We have to be Catholic. I mean, it's very, very clear. Your family isn't going to want it. I mean, in my family, we said the rosary every night. My mother had a belt in one hand and a rosary in the other. And we prayed the rosary. Except, I say, most of us prayed the rosary. And when times got tough, every one of us prayed the rosary. Because that's what we learned. And again, it's don't worry about your children. You live the faith, and you stay true to the faith. And I remember one friend of mine. He was a member of the town, a very important figure in the town, and he wanted to. His children invited them to Christmas dinner, and yet they were going to a family that, you know, they were both Catholic and they were living together. And he goes, "What do I do?" I says, "Well, you can't go." And he goes, "You're the only priest that says that." I says, "Well, you can't. You're agreeing that I'm happy that you're going to go to hell if you die tomorrow." I said, "You know, stand your ground." And he stood his ground, and he said, 2 years later, he said to me, "That was the worst 2 years I've ever went through in my life. My wife almost had a nervous breakdown. The children were screaming at me. The children were despising me." And he says, "But," he says, "they're all in the faith now. They all came back to the church." And I said, "Well, it was only 2 years for you. It could be a lot longer for most." But see, then what happens? The father gave the faith to the children. And he just says, "No, you want to do this? That's wrong, but I can't enter your house." And all the priests in the area said, "You know, you are the one that's hurting the church. You are the one that's hurting your family. This isn't Catholic." Well, you know, Jesus says he wants us in heaven. The Father brought that family into heaven by standing his ground. He gave the faith to his family. And it's horrible today because everybody's living a hedonistic life. You stand your ground as Catholics. I mean, you suffer the consequences. You have to suffer the consequences. And if you go to the family and they die, then you suffer the consequences knowing where they went. And I mean, let's just look at the life of a bishop. The bishop is in charge of every person in his diocese, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant, and every Catholic, every atheist. And if anybody goes to hell, who is responsible? It is the bishop. This is why the saints say the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of bishops. That's it. We pray for these bishops. We pray for the priests. A pastor is in charge of every person in his parish, not just the Catholics. And he has to be praying for everybody. And we get mad at him because, you know, the tabernacle's there and we want to move the tabernacle removed and put in another place. And it's been there for 30 years. And we get mad at the priest. His job is to save souls. And our job is to pray for them. So Jesus says this. Either I manifest my holy humanity to you, Louisa, making you to concur together with me in the acts of mercy towards mankind, or I, God, absorb you into the light of my divinity, making you concur with the acts of divine justice. But you are always with me, even more, when I absorb you in the light of my divinity. It is a greater grace that I give you, while you, not seeing my holy humanity, lament that I deprive you of me, and do not appreciate the grace you have received. See, it's the light, the life, and the love of God that he's asking us to enter into. He wants to absorb us into himself. This is the infinite ocean of the divine will that he wants us to drown in. I want you, he says, to be filled so that you are nothing but me. That means filled with the light, the love, the life of God. He says, Louisa, he wants us to be crystal clear so that when he looks at us, he sees himself. That means free of everything of the world. Now, we're trapped in the world in space and time, but Jesus says, I want to free you of this so that you will enter into eternity. Look what Our Lady said in Our Lady of Revelation. She says that, my children, this is 70 years ago to Bruno, my children are going to enter into eternity. The devil will be trapped in time and space with his followers. Can you imagine what that means? If we are trapped here forever, living here forever, can you imagine what we're going to look like at 1,001 years old? You know, just be careful where you step. There's somebody laying on the floor there. There's a pile of goo. I mean, we're not going to look too pretty at that point. Jesus says, I want you to share in my divinity. I want you to be free of everything here. So what is God freeing us of? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. What does that mean? The things of the earth don't mean anything to us anymore. We've consecrated everything to God. Everything belongs to him. Our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, our parishioners belong to God. Our health, our finances, our houses, our businesses belong to God. He's really freeing us. He says basically to us, you do not appreciate the grace that you're receiving in this gift of the divine will. On hearing, this is Louisa, that I, Louisa, was concurring in the acts of divine justice, it frightened me, and I said, so my love, now that you are striking the creatures, making their homes collapse, I am doing this together with you. No, no, heaven forbid that I touch my brothers. When you want to strike them, I shall make myself small in your will, and I shall not diffuse myself in it, so as to not take part in what you are doing in everything. I want to do what you do, but in this, striking creatures, never. This sounds like Peter to me. And Jesus, why are you frightened? In my holy divine will, you can be exempt from doing what you cannot be exempt from doing what I do. It is a natural thing, and this is exactly the sanctity of my divine will, to do nothing from one's own, but to do whatever God does. And then, my divine justice is divine sanctity and divine love, and it serves to balance the divine rights. And if I did not have divine justice, all the fullness of perfection would be lacking to my divinity. So, if you want to live in my holy divine will and do not want to take part in the acts of divine justice, the sanctity done in my divine will would not have its full completion. There are two waters fused together. One is forced to do what the other does. On the other hand, if they are separated, each one follows its own course. My holy divine will and yours are two waters fused together. Whatever one does, the other must do as well. Therefore, I, God, want you always in my most holy divine will. So I, Louisa, abandoned all of myself in his holy divine will, and I felt a great repugnance in me towards divine justice. And sweet Jesus, coming back, told me, if you knew how heavy it is for me, Jesus, to use divine justice, and how much I, Jesus, love the creatures. The whole of creation is for me like the body to the soul, like skin to the fruit. I am in continuous and immediate act with man, although created things hide me, just as the body hides the soul. I, Jesus, visit man in all things, in the air that he breathes, in the flower that gives off its fragrance, in the refreshing breeze, in striking thunder, in everything. My visits are innumerable. Do you see how much I love mankind? And you, Louisa, being in my divine will, are together with me, visiting mankind and giving him life. Therefore, do not be frightened if sometimes you concur in divine justice. Listen to what Jesus is saying. You, Louisa, being in my divine will, are together with me. Now, if we're linked to Louisa, we are together with Jesus. We're visiting your family that is away from Christ. You're visiting your family that is away from the church. You're giving your family life. Do not be frightened if sometimes you concur in justice. It's the same thing for us. Don't be afraid when you say, I am Catholic. I love this universal life. I am going to live this universal life with you or without you. And this is I've seen so many people bend under the weight of guilt. See, you have to, we're going to either be guilty by being with them, angry by being with them, or guilty by being away from them. It's very clear. Jesus wants you to love them. Loving them is not compromising what Jesus says. That's not love. It's like going to a doctor and you need a pill and he gives you candy because I don't want you to have that bitter thing. No, you go to a doctor and okay, you gotta take what you need at this point. Jesus is saying the same thing for your families. It's not to compromise with your family. It's to say, Jesus, I'm with you. Mary, I'm with you. Louisa, I'm with you. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And then bless them. Help them. And Jesus says, this is what I'm doing. When you begin to live in the divine will, he says, I am there in the midst of creatures. How? Jesus is gazing and you're gazing. Jesus is listening and you're listening. Jesus is speaking and you're speaking. The divine will is reigning in the midst of creatures because of the souls linked to Louisa. Don't worry about what's going on. It's not by feelings. It's by the knowledge of the truth. This is what Jesus is trying to show us. This is what Jesus wants us to be aware of. Volume 14, June 9th, 1922. After this, Jesus came back, but all afflicted, and he told me, I feel sad when they think that I am severe, that I make more use of divine justice than of divine mercy. They are with me as if I were to strike them in each thing. Oh, how dishonored I, God, feel by these souls. In fact, this leads them to remain at due distance from me. And one who is distant cannot receive all of the fusion of my divine love. And while they are the ones who do not love me, they think that I am severe and almost a being that strikes fear. Well, just by taking a look at my life, they can only notice that I only did one act of divine justice when, in order to defend the house of my father, I took ropes and snapped them to the right and to the left to drive out the profaners. And all the rest was only mercy. My mercy was my conception. My mercy was my birth. My mercy was my words, my works, my steps, the blood I shed, my pains. Everything in me was merciful love. Yet they fear me. While they should fear themselves more than me. I don't know how many people I know that are so angry with God. You know, God did this and God did that. And I just say, look at your own life. My goodness. You're the one that's in sin. And you're complaining about God with what he is doing. My goodness. Sin begets sin. Expect this. If you live a holy life, a saintly life, a good life, yeah, you're going to suffer, but you'll be suffering in joy. But if you're in sin and you're suffering, you're going to blame God. See, the closer we get to Christ crucified, the more we understand the love of God. The more we meditate on Christ crucified, the more we understand the love of God. The more we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, falling in love with Jesus, looking at Jesus in the monstrance, the more we are going to understand the love of God. But if we're there reading a book, you can pay a communist to do that. It's to fall in love with Jesus. Like, we're going to receive Holy Eucharist in the next hour. And what is very important is that we fall in love with Jesus. He, the Lord God Almighty, is going to be present. He, the Lord God Almighty, becomes our food. And he says, I want you to become like me. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to begin to fall in love with me. That's the whole reason for Mass, to fall in love with Jesus. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll have Holy Rosary at 11 o'clock.